Support for this episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in below-the-belt grooming that a man can get. Fellas, you need to tidy up down there, and this is the shit that's going to get it done for you, okay? This is a nice-looking shaver, comes with a nice pouch, wireless charging. Handle your business so you can get down to business, okay? That's what we're going to do. Yo, give them the code, Carmen. Let's go.
Right now, all our listeners can get 20% off with our code back to square one. That's back to square one, SQ1, for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com.
Let's roll the episode. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is episode 9 of Back to Square One.
Hello, hello.
We are your lovely hosts, as usual, Derek and Carmen.
Yes, welcome back.
What's on the docket today, Carmen?
I just want to start off by saying, like, I always forget that our episodes are going to be, like, visual, like, visualized, or that people are going to see our faces.
Yeah, wave to them.
Yeah, you know, we actually spent a lot of time setting up this set. Every single week.
The light over here and the light over here. Yeah,
like
you guys see.
I literally take those from my bedroom upstairs. I have to like lug them down. Like, I think we've talked about this. We have to rotate this couch. But also, it's just like, I think we have to, I don't know. I wonder if we have to be like a little bit more aware of the camera now and be like, you know, maybe like talking to our audience more. Or, like, are you guys like just listening to when you're on YouTube? Because we've got some views on YouTube too. So we're just wondering, like, do people just have it playing in the background, do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
They're not really like watching us, right?
I think you watch it for a bit, you alt-tab, you do some emails, but it's just like running in the background, you might click back into it.
Like, no one's watching us on like their TV or something.
I don't think so, at least. You know, who knows, maybe.
But yeah, because sometimes I'll be talking to you, and if we're really focused in a conversation, I realize like halfway through the video, I'm like, I'm just like slowly sliding down the couch. Right. Okay. Let me just like arrange myself here. Okay. So, what did we want to talk about today?
I think as these episodes progress and as we share more and more about ourselves and specific things about ourselves, you know, our childhood, marriage, or our work, or whatever it is, we kind of need to. Or it'd be nice, at least, for the listeners to kind of know more about us, mm-hmm. right? So we were kind of talking about, okay, how do we share more about ourselves in like an organic way? Mm-hmm. And I really liked the suggestion that you had, which was, hey, let's just start with something simple.
Yeah.
What was your first happy memory and your first sad memory? Do you know yours?
It sounds like you know yours. You wanna
go first? I know my sad one for sure right away.
Oh, so sad.
happy one. Let me think.
You can start with your sad one. Let's go deep.
Hold on, wait, let me think.
How young? Like how?
I have two. I have two sad ones.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Jane and Eglinton area in Toronto.
Okay.
Which is really ghetto.
Yeah. Like Toronto. Like
Jane and Eglinton. Yeah. Like North York, Toronto.
Yeah, North York. Sorry.
Yeah, where all the government housing apartments are.
Yeah.
Right. And one of my earliest memories that I have. Oh man, this is going to sound so bad. And not to be racist, mm-hmm. but because I was in government housing, there was a lot of immigrants, a lot of colored people, right?
Yeah. Minorities.
So, a lot of minorities, mm-hmm. right? So, but specifically, I remember growing up like with a lot of little black kids running around. Mm-hmm. And
How old are you at this? Like this
memory? This is like 3 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I remember that this kid that just stole a ball from me. Uh-huh. We were in the hallway. Like, you know, like government housing hallway is always really shitty lighting. There's really tacky walls. And I remember I had this like ball. It was just this red bouncy ball. And I remember this kid took it from me. And I was just like miserable. And That's one of the very first things I can ever remember.
Okay, I was expecting worse. I was expecting really sad.
The second thing.
Uh-huh. Another sad thing?
Yeah, another sad thing. This was a very sad apartment.
Yeah. Do you still remember? How long did you live in that apartment?
I lived in this apartment from 0 to 3. And then 4 is when I moved to Mississauga.
Oh, wow.
And okay. had a house.
So your parents, did they immigrate here and then have you at Jane and... Was it Jane and Finch? Or...
Wait, sorry, what?
Your parents immigrated here from Hong Kong. And then they had you, right? Like, you were born here.
Yeah, so my parents came here for university. They actually went to McGill, both of them.
Oh, okay.
They went to McGill, studied sociology.
Yeah.
And then I think during this time, it was a recession in Canada.
Yeah.
Right? They kept saying, I remember that when I was a kid growing up, they always would say, oh man, looking for work was so hard. We couldn't find work in Toronto. We couldn't find work in Montreal. We couldn't find work in Vancouver. They would like fly around. They would fly around, stay at relatives' houses, stay at like church friends' houses, and just trying to find work. Mm. And I think around that time, my dad found something working construction in the union in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing stuff like the tiles at Skydome, for instance, those bathrooms. He was one of the people who helped like tile the bathroom. Yeah, there'd be certain subway stations, and when we'd be taking it, he'd be like, yeah, you know, the subway station, I'll help put the tiles up.
Oh, right? For those of you who don't know, the Skydome is the Rogers Center?
Yeah, the Rogers Center now,
The Rogers Center. So they both have university degrees, but then, like, your dad decided to go into construction, or?
Yeah, because they're, like, two Chinese immigrants with sociology degrees.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know why. I think they just picked it to leave the country kind of thing.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So they, I don't think being a social worker really paid well then or pays well now.
Did they get married here or were they already married?
They got married in Montreal, I believe, at like a small church or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why did they immigrate or why did they move, to Toronto again? Because of work or?
From Hong Kong?
No, they were living in Montreal, right?
Yeah, they're living in Montreal, but I think just Montreal has always been a city of lack of opportunity, I would say, compared to the rest of Canada, right? Toronto and Vancouver are definitely much, much more economic driven cities.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there just wasn't much for them in Montreal. You know, life is there tough. You know, winter is no joke in Montreal. Right?
Oh yeah, it's like colder.
Yeah, and I don't think they had a car, so they're just like busing around.
Right.
It's like snowstorms everywhere. They don't speak French.
Yeah.
You know. So it's like, why'd you go to Montreal? But they don't speak French, so like they can speak like good English now, but like, you know, so
yeah,
I think just probably a lot harder over there. But there's a big Asian community in Montreal.
In Montreal, yeah. So then, yeah, you came to, and then you lived. Was it actual government housing, or just did it look like it?
No, it was actual government housing. Very a lot of minorities. Very rough neighborhood.
Yeah.
It was bad. And yeah, that was one of my first memories. The other ones, it's definitely a apartment folks have memories. The other one was, so we used to have this bin, similar like a big Tupperware bin, full of my toys.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this was late at night, maybe like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And I think I was up past my bedtime because I remember my mom scrambling, trying to put my toys back away because I think my dad was coming home and you could hear like the door unlocking, the keys jiggling, and I was supposed to be like asleep or whatever that by then. And my dad has a really bad temper.
Yeah.
So I just remember like just trying to put all my toys away, but failing to do so, and him just coming home and, you know, just destroying us. But yeah, those are the like first two early memories that I can remember. Not to put a downer on this episode already.
Okay, think about your happy one. I'm trying to think. This is neither a happy or a sad memory.
It's just a random fact.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the first memories that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I was really little, like probably just learned how to walk. Maybe 3. Mm-hmm. My sister wasn't born yet. My mom, she would bring me shopping a lot. Whenever she would shop, she would take a really long time. Like, I'd always have to wait around for her. But I was just this little kid, right? So what, I don't know if you used to do this, but you know how, like, the racks of clothes? Like, it was, I remember it was, what's that place that closed down?
Zellers? Eaton's, yeah.
Eaton's, right? Yeah, Eaton's. It was the one that closed down. Okay, I remember very clearly. And there's racks and racks of clothes, right? So as a kid, like, you were that perfect height that you could, like, go in, like, under the clothes. Uh-huh. Did you ever do that? I don't know, I did that
like,
a lot.
Like the sideways racks?
Yeah, like, well, like, it's rows and rows of, like, clothes that are, like, hung up on racks, right?
Okay.
And you can, like, go under it.
Oh, yeah, I can understand.
Yeah, so anyways, I would go under it. I would, like, weave through clothes and stuff like that. And I remember one time I was, like, I weaved in through... This is so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm sharing this. But I was weaving in through the clothes, and I was, like, picking my nose or something.
And you wiped it on the clothes?
I was just picking my nose. I wasn't, like, I don't remember wiping it, but I was picking my nose. And all of a sudden, this, like, white lady, she, like, opens the clothes, right? And I'm, like, standing there looking up at her, and she's, like... Young lady, you should not be doing that. It was like one of the most embarrassing moments. Like, to this day, I'm still like mortified about it. And I remember, when did Eaton's close down? Like, officially?
When we were kids, like when we were like 9, 10 years
old. Yeah, 9, 10 years old. I remember, like, I was like kind of relieved. I was like thinking, like, oh man, like.
They'll never know.
They'll never know.
My secret dies here.
Yeah. And then another.
That's such a random.
It's so random.
Was this that square one?
Yeah.
Someone has square one. So for everyone listening.
No, I don't know. It might not have been square
one.
Yeah,
there was only one Eaton's.
Really?
Unless you were like in Scarborough Town Center. Maybe Scarborough Town Center.
It might have been because I used to live in Scarborough. I don't know. It was. I'm not sure.
There wasn't that many Eaton's.
Yeah, if it was that young, I don't think I was in Saga yet. So it might have been somewhere else. Okay. But anyways, yeah, it's just, it's neither happy or sad.
So random.
But another, like, memory that I have as a child, like, you know, back then, like, we didn't really have to wear seatbelts. Mm-hmm. Or, like, it wasn't, like, a thing, right? Like, kids just kind of do whatever.
Yeah, you just hop in the back. I definitely never wore a seatbelt.
I remember, like, I would sometimes, like, sit.
I'd always lie down in the car.
Lie down. Yeah, exactly. No seatbelt. Yeah, you just go to sleep, down. Right? Yeah. Your parents would give you some jackets and, like, you just go to sleep.
Just lie down.
So, yeah, there were no rules. And I remember, like, I liked peeking my head in between, like, the passenger and the driver's seat from the back. And then just, like, being kind of, like, part of the front row. But, like, I didn't have any seatbelts on. I'd just kind of be there. Like, thinking back now, it's really dangerous. Yeah. But at the time, like, whatever. So one time we actually did get pulled over, and, like, a police officer actually, like, buckled me in. And he was like, I put a little man in your seatbelt. And he's like, and every time you don't put on your seatbelt, I'm going to know, and I'm going to pull your mom over. And he's like, so make sure you put on your seatbelt every single time. And then from then on, I think I was 6.
Yeah, you believed him?
Yeah, I believed him. And then, like, all through my childhood, I thought there were, like, little men that operated.
Oh, my God.
That operated the traffic lights and stuff like that.
So stupid. So,
like, kids are so impressionable. But, yeah, those are kind of, like, my earliest memories.
Wait, what's a happy one? Why is it so hard to think of a happy one?
I don't know if, like, you really, like, think back to your childhood and, like...
Okay, what are some happy objects?
Do you have one?
Yeah, me and my brother used to have this, like, plush fake dog.
Okay.
Right? And we gave him a name. His name was Digby.
Okay. That's so random.
And we used to always take him everywhere.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah, he actually looks like YOLO. He was like white with brown spots, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. YOLO's my real dog.
Yeah.
In Saga, yeah.
Yeah. That you haven't seen in a while.
I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. Like, definitely the sad memories always had to do with my dad. Just like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It's always. But my situation was so different, right? Because my parents, like, they were not physically together.
Right.
Like, growing up, my dad was never around. My childhood was my grandma, my mom, and my sister. Mm-hmm. My dad came home literally 2 times a year. And when he came home, it would be, like, 2 weeks. So the first, like...
That's crazy.
Yeah, think about this, right? Like, 2 weeks, two times a year. That's 1 month. For... Like, he didn't move back until I graduated dentistry. So 20...
So you didn't even know him, though.
6 years ago. 6 years ago. 26 years
of my life. How do you even... So you're a kid, he comes back, right? Is he fully off for those 2 weeks?
Yes, he's off.
And then is he giving you his undivided attention, or is he just watching TV? Like, what's he doing?
So the crappy thing is that he worked in Hong Kong, right? So when he did come back, he would be so jet lagged that most of the day he'd be sleeping.
Right.
And then when I'm sleeping, like, that's when he's awake and doing his stuff, right? So, like, sorry, I lied. My dad didn't, like, didn't start working in Hong Kong again until my sister was born. So maybe in, like, the first 6 years of my life, he was there. But I have very
little
memory. Because, I mean, really, realistically, you really only remember maybe, like, 2-3 things that happened before you were the age of 6, probably.
Wait, is this a fact?
I mean, it's a fact for me. Like, I don't know. Can you remember a lot before 6? You remember kindergarten?
Yeah.
I don't remember at all.
I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
You remember your teacher's name?
I don't remember their name, but I remember
Like who your friends were.
Maybe not the friends, but you remember like, I see the images.
You remember like...
Like the classroom images. I remember like nap time.
Okay, yeah, I definitely
remember that. Yeah, I remember like all those things. I remember like, yeah.
Meanwhile, like you have the shittiest memory when it comes to like, I'll tell you something like last week and you don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think the sad memories were always just like...
Stick out more.
Yeah. It's definitely like when my dad would leave, you know, and you're kind of like... I was always reminded like on Father's Day when you're doing the crafts.
That my dad's not here.
Yeah. And people never really understood. They're like, your parents are not divorced. Like, what is this family dynamic? But it's like, he doesn't... Like, I don't have anyone to give this gift to. Like, why am I making this?
Right?
Or, like, there was this project that I had to do where you had to make this wooden car. Like, they gave you a wooden block, and you have to carve a car out of it. And then they gave you wheels, and you just have to design, like, carve the car in a way that it was aerodynamic. And then all the kids, like, raced it on the due date of the project. And, like, my dad wasn't around. And obviously my mom didn't know how to do that stuff. So like just things like that, little things like throughout your childhood that you're reminded like, oh yeah, my dad's not here. But you know, just those are probably the saddest memories. But I didn't really have any like, you know, like I was never, it wasn't as bad as your situation where it's like your dad was like verbally abusive or anything like that. You know, did you get beats? Like what's the worst thing you got hit with? This is probably so illegal now, like to do this.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, so my dad was definitely very verbally aggressive. He would instantly blow up at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
He would beat us with like anything and everything. Like I'm talking from like slippers and rulers to hockey sticks and baseball bats and
baseball bats
and tennis rackets. Like we would always have that stuff in the basement, and when he would get really mad, he would be like, go to the basement and grab something.
You guys learned to grab like
yeah, and we would lie down on the couch, and he would like spank us with like hit us with like whatever item it was.
Who grabbed the baseball bat? Like that's so stupid. I'm kidding.
But it's just like sometimes he, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, I don't know how, but it was definitely to the point where I remember this very vividly, where there would be multiple times where, let's say my brother was getting beat, right? And it'd be so bad where I was upstairs, my brother's getting beat downstairs, and I'm like, fuck, if he does it one more time, I'm gonna call 911. And then he'd do it. And then I'd be like, fuck, if he does it one more time, I'm going to call 911. And then he'd do it again. But I'd be like so scared to actually do it. But I was trying to like get the like the courage to do it. You know what I mean?
Like, you actually had those thoughts like as a child to be
I used to keep a baseball bat in my own room, in my own closet. I don't know if you ever saw it when you recorded in my closet.
Yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah. I remember, like, vaguely there's, like, random shit in your closet for sure.
I used to keep that baseball bat there because, like, yo, if he ever goes overboard one day, I need to grab this baseball bat and, like, protect myself or protect my brother. Wow. So that's why I used to have a baseball bat in my room.
When did he, like, stop beating you guys? Like, obviously, you guys became bigger than him.
Yeah,
But, like, tall now. Did he still continue to...
Maybe, like... Like when we were 16 or something like that, grade 9, grade 10, wow. Like high school.
That's still so old.
Yeah, but even then, at that point, we're just getting like verbally abused. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh my God. I kind of hate how all our episodes are getting so dark.
I know, it's like we try to like keep it light.
I know, we're just trying to
like, yo, let's talk about like our happiest childhood memory. That it's always like, okay, it's so bad. It's okay. We'll
make it. We'll circle it back around. Yeah. This is just the rough part of the tour. Yeah,
we gotta get through this.
But like there would be so many times, and I've told you this before, where there'd be so many times where we'd just be eating dinner together, like when we're kids as a family, right? Mm-hmm. You're all at the dinner table, and he would look over at us, and like completely unprovoked, we're just eating, everyone's quiet. Completely unprovoked. And in Chinese, he'd be like, you know? And then he'd say...
Which means like...
Wait. I'll translate everything.
Oh, okay.
I'll say it all. Because I still remember this to this day. Like, it wasn't... So I'll say it
just
all.
Just randomly. You're not doing anything.
Yeah, completely unprovoked.
Okay.
He'd be like,
mm-hmm.
Wow. And so to translate for everyone, he'd be like, are you guys even my sons? Did the hospital have a mix-up? How did a lion give birth to you two? You guys are not even worthy of trash. And this wasn't even like, oh, I remember one time he said that when he was really mad. This would be like a weekly thing. Like, and then there'd be certain times where he'd be, has your dad or mom ever gotten so mad there, they like slam their fist on the table?
No.
But you know in those Chinese movies where like the mob boss gets angry? They and slap the table. Like... Yeah, and you hear the ceramic bowls go up and hit the table. Yeah. It would be like that. And then at that moment, we're like shitting our pants. And then like my mom starts crying. Me and my brother are just like silent. You know, and it just be like over like the dumbest reasons or for no reason, just because he was stressed or because he just had like thoughts in his mind. You know, it was just, yeah, that's like, this is one of those situations where it's like, why am I here?
Do you think like your dad was like mentally stable?
No, I think he's definitely like not all the way there.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. He's definitely very dysfunctional, had very serious issues of his own. I don't know what it was. Like, from all I know from what my mom told me was that like his family was very poor, they had a lot of siblings. My grandparents owned like a convenience store or a store of some sorts. Mm. And I guess they used him as the main worker because he was like the strongest, I guess. I don't know, but he felt like he got gypped when his other siblings got like maybe like less responsibility, for instance. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who had to like, he would always tell me like I had to carry like bags of rice and bring it to somebody, and mm-hmm. right, but I didn't know what does that mean exactly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, does that mean you're getting yelled at or you're just working more, you know? But that was like the story. And like
I wonder if he got like verbally abused like that as a child too.
Maybe, I don't know, but I feel like when you look at your aunts and your uncles, right? Do you feel like they're similar to your parents?
Honestly, growing up, like, you think yes. I think growing up, like, when you're young, you think, like, at least for me, I pictured this, like, happy family. Like, we were all very close. My dad has 7 siblings. Mm-hmm. And all 7 of them are in Canada.
Oh, wow.
With all my cousins. So, it's, like, it was a big family. my grandma's here, and you know, every time there was an event, we would all get together, like 30 people, you know. But like as you grow older, you realize that like, wow, like everyone is like so flawed in their own ways. Right. But yeah, going back to that, it's like, I don't know if it's just Chinese families, but Chinese families have a lot of like drama in between like their families that like, there's like this family doesn't talk to this family anymore. There's like beef.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're thinking more like your dad was very different from his siblings.
Yes, right? So different.
His siblings were more like
just normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I, like so drastically different, and I can't. They don't even look like they came from the same childhood. So it makes me wonder, like, what happened?
Was he the oldest?
No, he wasn't. He was. We had like, my brother had five sisters.
Oh, your dad had five sisters.
Yeah, my dad had five sisters and two brothers. So like either seven or eight siblings total.
So was he like younger end or like?
He was the middle brother. He has a young older brother and a younger brother. Yeah.
But he, like out of the eight kids or whatever, he was like somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. It really perplexes me.
But you've met all of them.
Yeah, I met all of them.
On his side.
Yeah.
And they're all like just, like they're all like normal human beings.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to stay at my aunt's place, his older sister, who stayed in Montreal and lived there. We used to, you know, always look forward to going to her house in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And I would stay there for like a week, you know, play with my cousins.
Did you ever ask your mom whether like your dad's always been like that, like even before kids?
Yeah, definitely when I was a kid, but maybe she couldn't really explain it properly.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why.
Did he like want kids? I wonder.
I don't know. He never explicitly said anything. Same kind of thing with your parents, you know, like I'm thinking back to episode 3, just because, you know, those are the TikTok clips that are happening right now, where the one where your mom was like, oh, you know, if it wasn't for you, I would have left your dad. Yeah, my dad would say that stuff, you know, it's because of you and your brother that my relationship is so terrible with your mom, you know, just basically blaming everything on us, so I don't know.
Seems like all of your like bad memories are like, or like your bad childhood memories are like mostly of your dad, would you say?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I honestly have one happy memory with my dad. I remember this so clearly. We finished church. We're walking back. We left the church. We're walking back to our car. And maybe because we just finished church and, you know, the pastor always preaches, you know, be grateful. And I see my family ahead of me. So they're like the three of them walking to the car. I'm like a couple steps behind. And I'm like, you know what? Like, fuck it. I'm just grateful for this. I'm happy. You know, I have a family. I'm happy. I remember this so clearly. And then 10 minutes later, we get in the car. He starts an argument. He starts something. And then I'm like, why did I even think that?
And that was your happy memory of him?
Yeah.
It was like a memory that, like, it was like a thought in your
head. It was a thought in my head.
It wasn't even like an interaction with him.
Yeah, no.
Oh my God.
There's nothing that, so we live in a crescent, right? A crescent is like a U circle street. And my house was in the middle of the crescent. So you would drive the car around the bend and then you would see our house.
Yeah.
So every time we drove home from, let's say, like swimming practice or math class, right? We'd be doing the same thing. So my mom would be in the front. Me and my brother would be in the back seat, and we'd be leaning over. So we're leaning over trying to see when we're turning in the corner if my dad's car is in the driveway or not. And then when we see his car is not in the driveway, the whole car is cheering. Yeah, he's not home.
Really?
Yeah, that's how fucked up it is. Every time we're coming home, right?
Wow.
And then if we see his car, we're like, fuck, okay, you know, we just got to go in the house, just be quiet. Just
like, even your mom would be cheering?
Yeah. Isn't it so ridiculous?
It's so messed up.
It's so ridiculous. And it's like, yeah, oh my God, I don't know. It's wild. It's so wild.
Did your mom ever, because you know how like my mom, when we were younger, like, you know, she would say things to me and my sister like, you know, your dad's cheating on me, or, you know, we're fighting because of this and this, like, because we bonded that way, right? She only had us. Did your mom ever like say things to your brother at a young age where it was like she acknowledged like, oh, you know, I know your dad is this and this, but we can't leave because of this? Like, did she ever explain her side of why she's staying in this marriage? Like, I mean, obviously she's cheering when he's not home, right? Like,
I think it was a matter of, because I remember around, I think it was grade 9, I got into a really, this is like when he stopped beating us and when I started to kind of like talk back and like, right, I forget for what reason, like what happened, but he got so mad he locked me out of the house for like a few hours, and I was just standing outside the front door for a few hours. And my mom was on my side. She was so mad that he got mad at me. And then I remember we decided to leave. So there was a period where during that, when we were in grade 9 or whatever, when I was grade 9, where we were looking for houses. So it was me, my mom, and my brother, and we found a basement. And I remember how it was like so serious, where we were gonna leave the house, move into this basement. My mom had started already cleaning the basement. She's like cleaning the fridge, wiping down like the cabinets, right, getting ready to move in. And I guess me and my brother were so excited. We were like little kids running around picking our rooms. And then I remember she looked at us and she said, oh, I can't do this. Like, you guys, like, she saw what was going to happen. She saw me and my brother acting like kids and realized, like, I can't raise you guys. Like, you're not going to help me if we leave this place. You're just going to be kids. It's going to be harder for me. I might as well stay home. So she decided not to move out. So this is all in a span of like a week and a half kind of thing. What? Does that make sense?
No, yeah. I explain, like, what you're explaining, you're, like, the picture that you're painting to me makes sense, but her reaction, I feel like, doesn't make sense.
I think it was a matter of because she didn't know anyone here. So the story of my parents is that they met each other in Hong Kong. They're both from very, very poor families. My dad had been saving up money for like a long time, like 6-7 years, right? For him, for himself to go to America. He met my mom, you know, and then he paid for her education to come to Canada. So she came here first. He stayed back in Hong Kong, worked for another year, and then he came over. And when I was really young, she told me, during that year apart, I knew I wasn't supposed to be with him. Like, I knew I didn't want to be with him. I knew I wasn't happy. But how do you tell that to somebody that paid your way out of, like, poverty and gave you an opportunity? How do you do that? You know?
Like, she feels like she owes him.
Yeah. You know? So I think that is a large part why.
Yeah.
And, you know, you come to this country, you don't really know anyone, you're not making much money, you need to have two incomes. And if you have two kids that are just kids, I guess you don't want to just deal with that. You know? So that's probably why.
Damn.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe that's why, like, for a lot of immigrant, like, kids who were raised by immigrant parents, like, there's not too many memories in our heads of, like, your parents being in love, like, you know, like, celebrating their anniversaries, you know, traveling, like, them coming here, like, they just needed to survive, right?
Yeah.
Like, they worked all the time. You probably never saw them, like, I mean, some parents don't even sleep together.
Yeah. My parents never slept together.
Right?
Yeah.
And
they had very little patience.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember the reason why my dad would always beat us was, he would say, I don't have time. Like, I need you to understand right now what you're doing is wrong. Like, granted, when we were kids, there was some stuff we deserved to be beat, right? playing too rough, I hurt my brother, like the usual stuff, right? And he would instantly, like 0 to 100. Yeah. You did something wrong, beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
And he would always say, I don't have time. You have to learn this right now.
Right.
You know, so like I understand that, but at the same time, it's so like, yeah, it's just tough because you see parents nowadays and they try to reason with their children. And you're like, damn, like I never had none of that.
Yeah, no, seriously. You know?
But
damn. I'm trying to think of like whether I got beaten. I definitely my dad never hit me. It was more my mom. I think my mom told us that before my sister and I were born, one time my dad was scolding his little sister. And after the sister came out of the room, like she had a handprint like across her face.
How old was he?
Like they were probably in their like 20s or something like that. Or like when my mom was dating my dad.
Oh, wow.
Or something like that. Before we were born. And my mom told me that she made my dad promise. She was like, when we have kids, you can never beat them.
Right.
Right. And my dad never laid a hand on us. My dad's never beaten us. My mom beat us so much, like not with a baseball bat, but like, you know,
rulers,
metal hangers, just everything she can get her hands on, right? But now that I'm thinking back, like I feel like I honestly think I was a great kid. Like I'm just trying to, I can't even pinpoint like why a parent would want to beat me.
Wait, so then can you remember a time when she did beat you and why she did it?
I think maybe it was like really something really minor. Like she told me to maybe clean my room and I didn't do it. And then she asked me again and I didn't do it. And then like the third week she got fed up.
Right.
And she would just beat me. But I can't remember big things that I did wrong that would deserve,
yeah, like stealing, a spanking.
No,
or
nothing.
Breaking something.
Oh my God, nothing, right, like that. Right. But I think why she did it, and now looking back, like I felt like my mom kind of had to act like
the dad
and the mom.
Right.
Right? Like she probably felt like if she didn't discipline us harder, like you know, maybe she would be doing a disservice to us. My dad was never around to be that person who would discipline us, right? Because the funny thing is, my mom used to be like the really strict one. Like she wouldn't let me out. You know, when in grade 8, maybe when you're kind of old enough to like hang out with your friends, you can go to the mall alone. Like even until I think like grade 9, my mom would not let me out by myself with my friends. Like my best friend.
Like not even out in the neighborhood or like out? Like you weren't allowed to like just...
I was not allowed to be like...
You didn't like bike around the neighborhood after school and like just hang out
at
the park?
If we biked, it was always with adult supervision.
Oh, wow.
And we can only bike like on our road. Yeah, like wow. I cannot leave the site. There was a stop sign that I could go up to and then down the street another stop sign.
Wow.
And I wouldn't be able to go on the road. It would be on the sidewalk only. You only bike on the sidewalk.
Was this because you were a girl?
I don't know, but even like the mall thing, she would come with us. Like I'd make plans to go with Steph to go to the mall, and she'd be like, okay. And then she would just follow us around. Like Steph and I would go to like any store that we'd want, but she would like have to be there. Or she'd say, I'm going to be at the mall as well. I'm going to drop you off, but I'm going to be at the mall as well. And we're going to meet, meet back in 2 hours or whatever, right? Like, but there was never really like a lot of freedom. And then I think finally it wasn't until like I actually moved out. Like even when I was in university, I still lived at home. As I said before, I went to the University of Toronto, Mississauga, and I was living in Mississauga at the time. So it just made sense to save money and not live on res and live at home. And even then, like, you know, in undergrad, when you're like, you know, partying, I would come home late from Waterloo. Like my mom would stay up, you know, and she would like wait until I was home. I don't know if I've ever hung out with you before. And then my mom would call and she'd be like, where are you? Or something like that. These were probably like high school days. Yeah. But yeah, my mom would always call like after 12. Where are you? When are you coming home? I'm not sleeping until you're home. And I would feel bad and then I would go home. So my mom just always, I think, had to be that parent, like that double just parent,
the
right?
Protector and the disciplinarian.
Yeah. And then I think as soon as my dad came home officially, like, because once I graduated dental school, then it was my sister that was kind of like going through the undergrad phase because she's 6 years younger than me, right? Mm-hmm. So she was going through the undergrad phase. And at that time, my dad was already home. My mom, my sister was like going out super late. My mom would never call her. And it was Katie, like my sister, who actually like brought this up. She was like, I think mom's way more chill now, like now that dad's back. Like you got it really bad, right? So now that I think of it,
But she knew you had it bad.
Oh yeah, Katie. Oh, yeah, Katie knows I had it bad. Way worse than her for sure.
Do you think it's because like the parents spend so much energy trying to govern and teach the first child that they just don't have it in them for the second one?
That could be it too. Yeah.
Because I feel like that's the case. You know, you just try so hard and it's like, yo man, whatever man, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Or you just have so much more energy when it's only one child, and then once you have two, you're just like, yeah, you're like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. Maybe, but I definitely, like, my mom, you know, being on her own, like, the majority of the beginning of our lives, like, yeah, like, we definitely got disciplined a lot more by her and, you know, spanked, but never, like, to the point where it was, you know, like, your situation or anything like that, right? But, yeah, and then I guess going into grade school, like, so then did you move to Mississauga, you said, when you were 4?
Yeah, I moved to Sauga when I was 4 and stayed in Sauga until Waterloo.
Yeah.
And I remember there would be mornings in Waterloo where I'd wake up. And you know when you're, like, awake but your eyes are still closed?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I would still have moments where I'd hear my parents arguing. And then I would have to, like, wait, am I dreaming right now or... I'm in Waterloo right now. I'm not with my parents. And now I had to like snap out of it.
Yeah.
You know, it'd just be so weird.
You know, when you went to Waterloo, like Waterloo is maybe like an hour drive-ish mm-hmm. from Mississauga. So it's not that far. So I think a lot of our friends who went to Waterloo, like every weekend they would go home and they would see their parents or whatever. Like, did you do that?
I mainly go home to do like laundry. We used to go like every 2 weeks. I used to go back.
Yeah.
Get food.
Oh, okay.
Things like that. But it wouldn't be to like hang out. Like we'd be together at BR on Friday, Saturday
night.
You'd
still be hanging out with like your friends.
Yeah,
or
your friends. Yeah, because you all go back to Sauga together and you come back to Waterloo together.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you going back this weekend? Okay, I'll go back this weekend.
Okay. You know? Yeah, because I was just thinking more like you probably wouldn't even have really wanted to go back kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. And then by then, thankfully, like I was kind of already like at that phase where my dad knew he couldn't do anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when he tried to like lecture me, I just like walk away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just like stuff like that. So it's just kind of like, you know, you go about your business, I go about my business. Like when we walk by each other in the hallway, we just walk by each other kind of thing.
Were they like involved at all in like did they come to your graduation? Like no. Not for what, like for high school?
No, nothing.
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 Like, were they involved in, like, you picking a university or
oh,
college?
Yeah, my mom was. My mom was. My mom. Okay. My mom definitely was the one I, you know, who was actually, like, a parent.
Yeah.
You know, sit down together, pick universities.
Oh, really?
When I get the mail, I'd show her, let her, you know, she was the one I called when I got into Waterloo. Stuff like that. My mom definitely tried to do the normal stuff as much as she could.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in terms of, like, graduation, convocation, I didn't care about that stuff, so I didn't really go to any of those.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like,
did your dad come back for like your big stuff?
He wasn't there for, I think the only thing he came back for was my university like undergrad graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I don't have pictures with him of my grade 8 grad, but grade 8 grad is like whatever, I guess.
But you cared about that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Ask him, can you come back? Or
no,
like,
I never asked.
You just knew that it wasn't worth it?
Yeah. I always just knew, like, my dad only came back twice a year.
Right.
It's during Chinese New Year's and, like, sometime in the summer. So, like, it was only those two times that I would see him kind of thing.
How do you have a relationship with someone when it's like that? Like, do you even begin? Do you even try to catch up? Do you try to make memory? Like, what do you do? Because it's so... I can't tell you what happened the last 8 months when you were gone.
And that's why I'm so shocked, because I'm actually a lot closer to my dad now than I am with my mom. Like, my dad and I text each other all the time. Like, if there's something going on in my life, like, he's like the first person I would call. He's always the person I would call if I needed help with anything.
Wait, why is that? How did that happen?
My dad just has always been the more logical person in, like, their relationship.
Right.
My mom's kind of like, she's very, like, I say I get my, like, sense of humor.
Yeah, I was going to say, your mom was really, I remember her being pretty funny.
Yeah, she's jokes. Yeah. Like, I get my sense of humor, my, like, kind of, like, whimsicalness, like, you know, kind of, like, head in the clouds. Like, she's kind of like that. Whereas my dad's more, like, you know,
grounded,
intelligent, and, like, you know, he's definitely, like, more educated too than my mom. Like, my dad actually got, like, a university degree from U of T, actually.
Is that why you went there?
Not why, but, like, definitely why I always, like, had this image in my head that U of T is, like, the best.
Right.
But my mom, like, yeah, when they got together, my mom wanted to go to college, and my dad told her not to.
Wait, say that one more time.
My mom wanted to go to college, and my dad said, You don't need education. Like, I'm gonna take care of you.
Oh, okay, that makes sense too.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, I have a degree.
But he didn't really though, because she had to work.
Yeah, I know. So to this day, my mom like still. My mom always says this. She's like, if it wasn't for your dad stopping me, I would have a degree too. You know.
Oh, man.
But my mom was never studious. My dad. Right. My mom was the type of person who would like go to school and forget her backpack.
Right.
Like, there's a. We joke about this all the time. Like, she's actually forgotten her backpack.
Oh my gosh.
She would go to school without it.
Oh my gosh.
My mom was not studious. So they're just like very different, right? So I go to them for different things. But, you know, my dad and I definitely have like when we talk about like reasoning things out, or if I'm asking for advice on things, or, you know, my dad's definitely the person that I talk to. My mom sometimes, like, I can't really
get through her.
Yeah. She's very. And her advice sometimes comes out of nowhere. It's not very, like, it's not backed by anything. It's very, like, emotional. Like, yeah, and maybe because, like, I spent.
Do you know how they met?
I think they said, like my dad knew, like, her boss or something.
And then do you know how they, like, bonded and, like, got close? And
I think my dad was the one who pursued my mom, like, aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like my mom was not interested. My dad like pursued her like crazy, and I think my mom was just it's actually like, you know, like she was fascinated by his brains.
Like, really?
Like, yeah,
he's that smart.
Yeah, my dad is smart.
Oh
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, he's smart.
What happened?
He went to me, dude. Let's just say I got my brains from my dad. But yeah, what were we talking about? My mom, my dad. Yeah. And then, yeah, to build that relationship where my dad was never around, like, it's funny that because I'm so much closer with my dad now, it's almost like we're making up for lost time.
And he feels the same way.
Yeah, I definitely think he makes more of an effort, like, to really know what's going on in our lives, things like that. My mom now almost feels like, well, your dad's back. My job's,
yeah.
You know, like, they're your problem now kind of thing. Like, she just kind of does more.
My turn to live life.
Yeah, for sure. And she doesn't ask. My dad's always the one that texts and is like, hey, what are you up to today? Or, hey, are you home? You know, are you in bed yet? Like, things like that.
What's your mom up to? She just.
She just chills. My mom is, like, so chill now.
But she has, like, friends that she goes, like, party with? Or what does she do?
No, she just, like. You know, what do Asian moms do? Like, watch K-pop,
right.
You know, like TV series and stuff like that. But it's just, it is interesting. Like, out of all our friends who had astronaut dads or dads who worked abroad, I would say my dad's the only one that actually came back.
Oh, and state. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Like a lot of our friends at 32 years old, like their dads are still not here.
Even though they're retired.
Even though they're retired.
So they're just living by themselves in Hong Kong?
They're living by themselves in Hong Kong. By themselves. Perhaps.
But have our friends gone back to actually see the home they live in?
Yeah.
And like, there's no one there?
There's no one there. It's like a bachelor pad. Their own apartment. My dad had one of those too. Like I would like Skype or whatever back then, like, and video cam him, and you know, I would see his place.
So how certain are you that your dad and other dads don't have like second families? Like, would you say without a shadow of a doubt?
I can only say that my doubts are less because my dad came back. Just because, like, my assumption is like
you can't leave another family.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he would have came back if he did have another family there. Can I say the same about other people's families? No. Because I'm like, you know, why wouldn't you come back? You know, but to their defense, like, I think some of those dads,
they just like the Hong Kong lifestyle.
Yeah, like, they've just gotten so used to that. It's so different in Hong Kong. Like, you can literally go downstairs, like, take one bus, and
it's the whole world.
It's a whole different world. There's, yeah, like, all these different foods, and you don't even need to own a car. You're it's so...
Yeah, all your friends are there. It's chill. You're just, yeah, comfortable, and you know the land.
Yeah, whereas when they come here, everywhere they go, they need to drive a car. They might not have driven in, like, 20 years, you know. And also, the other thing is, too, because Eden's dad is also an astronaut dad, like... His mom's house here, which is obviously the house that his mom and dad both bought when they both moved here, is now like his mom's house, right? Like, his mom took care of this house. His mom,
it doesn't feel like home.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like home for him. When he comes back, like, he tries to like organize something, like, you know, mom might get mad because it's like, what are you doing to my stuff, right? And it's, they've almost like grown so apart that it's like, it's really hard.
They have their own lives.
Yeah, because it's also too the other, because when I graduated from dentistry, there was the option for my dad to either come home, or I told my mom, like, you don't need to take care of us anymore, like, you can move to Hong Kong and be with dad, but at least they're together, right? But my dad decided to come back because of health issues. He just decided to retire altogether.
Better healthcare.
Yeah, here. It just makes more sense. Like, we have a like property here, things like that, right? Healthcare, exactly. But
so, do they hang out all day together? Do they like?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do they still seem like, you know?
Yeah, like, honestly, I feel like the older I get, the more I see them. Like, it's obviously cute? They're not like lovey-dovey, like, you know, they don't like cuddle or like, it's not PDA or anything, but it's like cute in a sense where it's like, there's a saying in Chinese that's like, you know, like lo fu fu, where it's like just old married couple. Like, they're just
kind of bickering.
Yeah. Or even just like the way they joke to each other, you know, my mom, my dad will be like, oh yeah, you know, don't worry, Carmen, you're smart. Like me, not like your mom, you know, and your
yeah, they're always like, like poke, zinging each other.
Yeah, zinging each other. Yeah. But you know, there's some truth to it. But it's, yeah, like, it's like cute, right? But yeah, I think even with, yeah, the that was like kind of like, I guess, all through high school, and then it just, my parents were never around. Like, they didn't, like, not my parents. My dad was never around. But the one thing he did care about was my academics. Like, he would make me, like, you know, back then you get physical report cards. He made me scan it
and
send it to him.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Or actually, I used to photocopy it and like mailed it to him.
Oh wow.
In Hong Kong. Like, he wanted to like physically see it, and that mattered to him.
Yeah.
Right. But my day to day, who my piano teacher was, you know, drawing lessons,
really
he didn't,
yeah,
like, he probably didn't even know that I was like in karate and this is the belt that I did. Like, he doesn't know any of that stuff.
So do you, how well do you think your dad knows you? Like, are you, you know what I mean, like, out of 100%? like your childhood, your life, what you're into, all that. Like, what do you think?
I honestly think about that, and I'm just kind of like.
Like more than 50?
I don't know the exact amount, but I would not say it's less than any Asian parent, even if they were around. Because it's like,
how much do Asian parents know you?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because there's so much we don't tell them. There's no, our lines of communication are so narrow.
Yeah.
And so specific.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, like let's say piano lessons. It was just something every Asian kid did. You had to do it. I don't care if you hate it or like it, you have to do it. So did they ever sit us down and was like, hey, what's your favorite song? Or why do you not enjoy practicing? Like, they don't ask that. They're just like, my kid plays piano.
Yeah, it's more so, okay, what level are you at? How far are you progressing?
Yeah.
Right? It's more the achievement unlocks versus the journey.
Yeah. And at that point, it was almost like, I don't know, I felt like maybe a lot of our friends group, like, a lot of the people in our friends group, like, all our childhoods were very similar in a sense where, like, we all went to Chinese school. Like, it was just something that every Asian kid did in Mississauga, right? Mm-hmm. We all, like, probably took, I don't know, did you take piano?
I took guitar.
Okay, guitar, some kind of instrument, right?
I did guitar, swimming, and math class.
Swimming and math, exactly. Yeah, swimming. Those are all, like, it's, like, the Asian, like.
Yeah, it's a trio.
Yeah, right? But it was never like, oh, you like basketball? Let's put you in basketball. Like, yeah. No. So I think.
I don't know why. And I don't know how they found the time or the money, even though, you know.
Yeah. It would be interesting to talk to our parents to see how much they actually knew us. Like, even our personalities, right? Because now I talk to my coworkers and my assistant. She has two sons. One's in grade 9 and one's in grade 6, I believe. She knows them like so well. Like, she'll talk about them like they're her
best friends.
Like, best friends. She'll be like, you know, Luke is a little bit, he's more sensitive. You know, these are the things that will make him cry. You know, this is what I imagine he'll be when he's older. He's going to be the life of the party. He's this and this. Like, he knows him, his personality, right? And then Isaac is this, he's the responsible one. Like, he wakes up and when he tells stories, he's very long-winded and we're all like, Isaac, get to the point. Like, it's very, they know their kids so well.
Uh-huh.
Versus I was thinking, like, on my drive home today, I'm like, I don't even know if my parents can describe me like that.
I think they describe us from what they've seen. Because I definitely... Like, didn't your parents ever tell you when you were a kid, like, oh, you're so this, you're so this?
Like, the only thing they've ever said to me was, like, oh, yeah, you were...
Like, you're so, like, unpaid. Yeah, what is that? Like
mischievous?
Yeah, like rowdy you know?
Yeah, like, that's it. You're either, like, oh...
Like a good kid or a bad kid.
Yeah, right, it's like true. A whole guy. Never cried. You were really good. But never, like...
Like really good to know you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I don't think my dad knew me any less than any other, like, Asian dad. Like, he knew my accomplishments. Like, he obviously knew, like...
So if you were to put a number on it, what do you feel? 20%?
Okay, so my sister and I both have Hong Kong Sanwenzings.
Right.
Like, Hong Kong IDs. And I remember when we went back to get them, my dad brought us to go get them. And he was filling out our forms.
Oh, right? My God.
And he was like,
when's your birthday?
He asked me, like, when's your sister's birthday?
Oh, man.
And then he asked me, what's your sister's Chinese name?
Oh, my God.
Like, there were things that he couldn't remember about us.
Wow. Not even the name, not even the English, but he knew. That's so weird.
I think even now.
He doesn't really remember.
I'm not sure if he remembers exactly when. He might remember me more. I definitely think my dad, like, at least he was around the first, like, whatever, like, 6 years of my life, right, before my sister was born. But, like, my sister, he really wasn't there for.
Wow.
Right? So I really don't think he remembers that well, my sister. So, yeah, in terms of percentage, I don't know if I had to give something. I mean, if every Asian parent was like 50%, maybe he was like 45% because he wasn't around.
It's like a little less than average, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you think he really knows 45% of you?
I think like.
Like let's not go by 50% as the average.
Are we talking about now or when I was a kid?
Just in the entirety of your existence.
Oh, entirety of my existence.
Adds up to 100%. Things you went through in your childhood, things you felt, things you were into, things now you're into, right? Your whole existence adds up to 100%. How much of that does he know?
45%.
Really? That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. I think my mom and dad would know like most like facts about me.
Wow.
Like I do this, I work here, you know, I have, you know, they'll know those things.
Right.
A lot of big decisions in my life, I still talk to my parents about it.
Right.
It's not like you're, like, you know how you said you don't have a file on your parents?
Yeah.
Your parents don't really have a file on you. Like, it's not like that.
Yeah, that's, you know, crazy.
Yeah, what's yours? Damn, I know yours is low.
Like 2%? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. But when did you get your tattoos?
Yeah, I got the first one when first year university, so 18.
What did your mom say?
She saw it one day and she was just really mad. She's like,
did your dad like say anything?
I don't know if he knows.
Still?
I think he knows now after I got my sleeve and stuff, but I don't think he knows about the earlier ones. I don't know, because I didn't talk to him, or we would try to always avoid him, you know? So there definitely is just like two strangers walking by each other. Not even two strangers, like two people you don't like walking by each other. So we just try to avoid each other. We wouldn't try to talk to each other. We wouldn't, like, there was no reach out from either end.
And yet what, like, let's say when you go home, like, or let's say even when you go home now, because sometimes you go home and you get mail. Mm-hmm.
I walk in the door.
You have a key to your house.
I have a key to the house. I walk in the door. My mail is on my mom's desk because she gets it and gets it for me. I walk into that room where she is now. I grab it and I leave.
Are they home?
I don't look. I don't ask. I don't, hey, how's it going?
You don't say like, hey, I'm home.
No. I open the door. I don't even do a tour. I go straight to what I need to do. Maybe like when I first moved downtown, I would still maybe take YOLO, like go in and take YOLO for a walk around the neighborhood,
yeah,
and then leave. But now I just go in, go to my mom's desk, grab the mail and leave. And then I text her, okay, I got the mail. That's it. She could be downstairs in the living room. She might see me on the way out.
So she wouldn't even be like, oh, you didn't even say hi? Like, be upset about that?
No, if she saw me, she'd be like, yeah, everything's okay? I'm like, yeah, everything's okay.
Damn, it's like worse than a business transaction.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. It's just, but that's the way everyone feels comfortable.
Like, does it ever give you anxiety that, like, when you do have to go back, you're like, oh, I hope I don't bump into them?
Yeah. I same thing as a kid. When I'm pulling up to my driveway, I hope I don't see anybody's car.
It's like almost easier to just go in, do my
shit. Yeah, it's easier. Not have to, it's easier. I don't talk to my brother. I don't talk to my mom. I don't talk to my dad. I play with my dog for a bit.
Why is there mail that still goes there then?
Just like random.
Oh, like you don't really have to go back.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's just the most random things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, super random things. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, a big part of the reason why I think I really wanted us to, you know,
uncover all this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's been so long. Damn, we didn't even get past like university. But I wanted to go through like our whole life. But like, it's very interesting when you compare two people. You know, we've talked about this. We're best friends. you know, but our upbringings are very different, right? Mm-hmm. Where we came from is very different. Even now when we're recalling like our childhoods, you can tell when you compare them side by side, it's like so different, mm-hmm. right? And I just kind of wanted, you know, and I think later on in future episodes, we might go over this, but like even just how we decided to like lead our lives, you know, me more the traditional route and you more of like the free route. Like we're so different in many stages of our lives, mm-hmm. right? But I wanted just to go over that because I feel like it's important for the audience to know not only, you know, are we providing our opinions on things from like a male and female perspective, but it's like a lot of the things we talk about, like it has a lot to do with like how we were brought up, mm-hmm. how different it was, you know, or the choices we decided to make in our young adult life, things like that, right? So I just wanted to give the audience more of a background because a lot of people who are listening, like they don't know us at all.
Yeah, we're just two strangers.
Yeah, two strangers. Sharing
the most random, intimate details of our lives.
Yeah, it's like, and I think that's what makes our friendship like interesting too, right? You know,
I think it's because we are always, for whatever reason, I don't know how it happened mm-hmm. or when the first instance of it happened, but somewhere along the line, we must have, I shared a little bit, you shared a little bit, mm-hmm. I shared a little bit, you shared a little bit. And then it's like, oh, I could talk to this person. They're interested in what I have to say. Mm-hmm. They're interested in, you know, who I am and what made me this way. And, you know, and I guess that was because I don't remember how we got close. I remember you were around and, right, just Duncan brought you around, maybe like
you were around.
Yeah, you were around like second or third year university.
Yeah, like when we started partying and stuff like that. But I definitely feel like we got close because, there are certain things I think that we are for each other that the other might not have.
Like what?
So for example, like I know a lot of my decisions in my life or a lot of the things that I do, like I do have a lot more fear. Like mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed this, but like a lot of my decision making is a lot of it is like fearful or
like fear driven.
Or even just like when we started doing this podcast, you know, like at the beginning, I was very like nervous about being judged and, you know, like I would tell you these things and like for you, these aren't problems for you, like, or things that you worry about. And like, you're able to tell me like from your perspective, you know, these are the reasons why like you shouldn't be scared. Right. And mm-hmm. you're able to like pull me out of that like comfort zone and be like, hey, like we can do this. And because without you, I probably would never do this. Like, mm-hmm. you know, definitely not like post on TikTok, you know, for the whole world to see, right? It would just be like a little like podcast where we're just like advertising to our friends and that would have been it, right? But then from like maybe, you know, I think I like ground you a bit, you know? So I think in some sense, like we are what maybe the other person wishes they had more or, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like a good balance, right?
Yeah, I definitely know that if it wasn't for you, a lot of the stuff that I've shared with you over the years, mm-hmm. no one would have heard. Mm-hmm. So it's just been more that's like stuffed mm-hmm. in the vault. You know what I mean? So it definitely, yeah, it's been like a, yeah, so it's definitely that dynamic. And then for sure, there's a lot of things where you're definitely the first person that like comes to my mind when I think about like decisions or what I'm doing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, when something funny happens, you're like, you know, let me fucking tell Cameron.
Yeah. No, and I mean, and now like all of you guys know.
Yeah, I know, right? It'd be the three of us guys.
Yeah. But yeah, no, thank you so much for joining us on another episode. This has been fun. I feel like we always just, yeah, it's...
Yeah, the next one will we'll keep it more on the less doom and gloom side.
Yeah, but I feel like people definitely.
I feel like we bring a positive way to talk about the negative things that happened.
Yeah.
Or at least we're able to like laugh about it and really, at least for me, I like to look at things. So I like to like psychoanalyze it and look at it from like the educational side, and somehow hopefully that mitigates, you know, the shit that happened.
Yeah. It's not like a, oh, woe is me. Kinda.
Yeah. It's not like a pity party.
Exactly. It's not a pity party. It's more just like, oh, this is like my experience, you know? And like, it seems like the response has been, you know, wow, like we're actually shocked sometimes that it's like a lot of people feel this way. And you know, it's just no, it's been nice to just realize that like just our authentic experiences, like just us talking like two friends, it's still like relatable. So thank you so much for listening if you are, and yeah, I think that's it for today.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Bye. Peace.